have because you don't have enough God and faith in you to fight off the devil. Amen. Thank you, Cindy and Mary and Matthew. Folks want to sing. Somebody needs to hear that today. Somebody needs to hear the word of God saying to them. Amen. 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 Thank you. Let's open up the scriptures to the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Fairies Matthew. I know why. You're here Wednesday night. I was trying to find a loving message. I found it. John chapter 3. We're going to look at 14 through 16. Love. Valentine's Day message. Greatest Valentine's Day message you ever hear. You won't find this at Hallmark. You won't find this. I think Cindy get all her cards from the dollar store. You won't find it at dollar store. Thank puppy love. This is the love of God. Jake said, "For whosoever." Title of this message is God loves the whosoever's. God loves the whosoever's. Start at verse 14, Gospel of John, chapter 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for all that you've done. It's just been a glorious day, and to see people of God gathered together and folks volunteering to sing and volunteering to pray, it's just a wonderful move of God. Thank you for the voices. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the power that you've given this church to hear the word of God. And we ask that you would be with the pastor as he preaches the word of God. Give him courage and strength and boldness to preach with the authority that you have in your book. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I once again went to my Urban Dictionary.
Yes, sir.
And I came up with the word schooled. Anybody ever heard that word schooled before? You know what it means. You've been schooled. Okay, they talk about it in the NBA, and when Allen Iverson came on the scene and he came up with the crossover dribble, and folks would try to come up and defend him, and they say he schooled him. They talk about in boxing where you run into a veteran, you may have a hot shot young boxer come up and they run into one of these cagey veterans and they get schooled. Okay, they get schooled. It really means to teach a lesson the hard way, or to lose with humiliation. You get humiliated and you lose. Well, I thought about this, and I'm just going to bring this text into context here, because we receive Nicodemus. And the word Nicodemus in the Greek, it means Nike. And the word Nike, and this is where it comes from, it originated from the Greek, means victorious. Champion, overcoming, victory. So we have Nicodemus coming to the Lord at night. And I was telling Jake and Dave, I thought about some of these young ministers. You think about John Calvin And Calvin was between the ages of 21 and 25 when he did most of his work. And then this Calvin school of thought, they teach the tulip theory, the 5 points of Calvinism, total depravity, where man is so deprived and so out of it, so lost that he don't even have the strength in him to even make a decision for God. It's all God's doing. And then he talks about unconditional election. That's the U in tulip. Unconditional election. Okay, basically meaning that God only calls a few, certain people, the elect. A limited atonement, that's the L. That's the L. We teach an unlimited atonement. They teach a limited atonement on a certain amount of people. I don't care what God said. It's Calvin. And they people call themselves Calvinists. Be careful when you run into a Calvinist. Be careful when you run into anybody that calls themselves by somebody else's name. It's a dangerous thing. Okay, we're Christians. Christ followers. Irresistible grace. That would be the I in tulip. Meaning that you didn't have a choice. God called you, you had to come. And you heard the word of God, you had to come. And then you didn't have no choice in the matter, you just had to come.
Amen.
Effectual calling, they sometimes call it. And to a point that some of that's true. I believe God will call you in a way that you can't deny Him. Perseverance of the saints. I mean, if God called you, He's going to keep you. There's no losing your salvation. I would agree with most of that in theory. I believe once saved, always saved. I believe if you truly saved, you're going to die saved.
Amen.
Amen. So you see this upstart. And imagine Calvin or imagine the Pope coming to Jesus at night. Okay. And they come to Jesus at night and Nicodemus was schooled. Let's read some of this. The saying came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And I believe he probably said that reluctantly. And Jesus answered. He didn't answer that question about the miracles and all that stuff. He didn't answer that. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him. Now, this is radical. We're still in our radical Jesus statements. This was radical here. Could have taught on this, but I believe I preached on John 3 and 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's radical. That's hard hit, because that confronted all Nicodemus' teachings. That confronted all his belief system. Same thing with the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler came to the Lord, he had his theory on how to do things, and Jesus confronted him. He said, listen, rich boy, you go sell all that you have and come follow me. He couldn't do it. He had too much stuff. Look at verse number 4. Nicodemus is confused. Now remember, Nicodemus is the ruler. He's the chief. He's the boss. He's the number one teacher of all of Israel at that time. And Nicodemus was confused by what Jesus had said and said, Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Now that's something that you would think a child would believe. Okay? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He gives him a stern rebuke, but he gives him a physical illustration of what it takes to be born again. And it says of water, meaning there needs to be some repentance there. There needs to be some cleaning up. There needs to be some repentance there. And then he says, then you need the Spirit of God. Now there's some radical Pentecostal group that says, "Well, you if you don't speak in tongues, you just there's no evidence that you've ever been saved." It doesn't say that here.
Amen.
Okay. And there's the groups that say, "Well, if you don't get baptized in this church, if you leave, you lose your salvation." There's a lot of stuff out there. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Sound like you're saying you need to be born of what? Of the Spirit. You need a new birth. You need a new birth, Nicodemus. And you won't get it by crawling up back up inside of your mother. You're not going to get it. Nicodemus is acting like he knows nothing. He should have known this. And this is a rebuke to him. Because, see, a Jewish teacher should have known some of these scriptures. Genesis 3:15, it says the Savior is going to come. He's going to be born of a woman. Micah 5:2 says the Savior is going to be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14 says, and they shall call him Emmanuel. And Psalm 2:6 says that he will be called the King of the Jews. Nicodemus would have known that, should have known that. So Jesus is confronting him and basically saying, you know this, but you're suppressing this information. You're not teaching the people because they didn't want to see Jesus come on the scene. Look at, as we keep moving down the list, not only gives them these lessons, he gives them a natural illustration in verse number 8. He gives them a physical illustration in verse number 5 through 7, in verse number 8, he gives them a natural illustration. Nicodemus, make sure you get this. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound of air thereof, but cannot tell where it come and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What's he saying? It's none of your business how or what a person do. You can't determine whether a person is saved or not. Now, if you go out to a dusty day, coming up Market Street on a summer day when it's dusty, you can see the wind blowing. Mm-hmm. Well, you won't see the wind blowing, but you see the results of the wind blowing. Amen. Okay? You don't see the wind, but you see the dirt scattered around, maybe some paper rolling across the street. But if that flag is steel and there's no wind, you don't know where it's at. So he gives them that. He gives them a natural illustration. Then he gives them a biblical illustration. Now he shouldn't have to go through all this because he's talking to the chief teacher of the Jews. He's talking to the boss man. Look at verse 14. He gives them a spiritual lesson. He's talking about being schooled. He's giving them a spiritual lesson. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What was happening in the wilderness? I know I might sound like I'm teaching. You don't have to answer, but the people were getting sick and they were dying. What's happening in our world today? Folk is getting sick and they're dying. And what they did in the wilderness, they lifted up the serpent on a stick. And folks that came to it and looked up at it, they were healed. Now folks, listen, even in the wilderness, everybody didn't come. Everybody didn't come. They lifted it up. But everybody didn't come. See, look what he says here in the second part of verse 14. Even so the Son of Man, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, high and lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. The word perish basically means should not what? Die and go to hell. Let's keep it plain. No matter, I don't have a problem talking about hell. But have eternal life. Now, eternal life is not just living forever. Because you can have eternal life in hell.
Amen.
Okay? Eternal life starts right now. It starts the day that you become a believer. Because you receive the power to overcome some things. You receive the power to work through some situations. You receive the power to fight and battle through difficulties that you normally wouldn't be able to. I've seen it work. I've seen the power of God work in folks' lives. I've seen marriages that were totally destroyed come back together because of the power of God. I've seen relationships mended. I've seen folks delivered from drugs and alcohol abuse because of the power of God. So what Jesus is saying here is that eternal life starts right now. I thought about this as I was looking through this. I thought about how even Joseph, remember Joseph? Turn to Matthew chapter 1 if you like. But Joseph had to be reminded. Just like Nicodemus. Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Joseph had to be reminded who he was. Nicodemus should have known this, and Joseph was rebuked the same way by the angel of the Lord. He was rebuked the same way because, see, Joseph should have known this. Look at verse 18 of the Gospel of St. Matthew. And it says in verse 18, chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. We just talked about Nicodemus. He should have known that she was going to be born of a virgin. Watch Joseph. Watch how ever so gently the angel rebukes Joseph. Then Joseph, verse 19, her husband being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Who reminded him of that? As Cindy just sang it. So that devil. But while he thought on these things, somebody gave him some bad advice. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now stop right there. By being Joseph, thou son of David, there's some things you supposed to know. By being Ray, the son of a pastor, there's some things you supposed to know. I mean, just by being a Christian and saying that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's some things that you ought to just know. Amen. You just ought to know, there's something different about me now. Mm-hmm. These young men who now they come and they're living in the house of a pastor. There's a certain behavior that they ought to just know. Like, there's something we just ain't going to be able to do here.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Amen. Yes, sir.
I hope I am. Because he said, Joseph, thou son of David. Pay attention, Joseph. Listen how Paul told Peter. I might get to John 3:16. Where Blanche at? Wherefore, look at 2 Timothy 1:6. You don't have to turn. I'm just going to read it. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Sometimes we need to get stirred up. Sometimes we just need to get stirred up. Listen what he says here in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 21, he's going to take them back to the teachings of the Old Testament. And she shall bring forth a son, not a child. Oh, and they didn't have them tests now. Well, back then when they put the scanner on you, sonograms and all that, they didn't have that back then.
Amen.
He said, thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Everybody need a wake-up call every once in a while. Everybody need a wake-up call. Every once in a while, we talk about this salvation. That's what it means to be saved. Heard Jake hollering at some young folks today about salvation, being saved in Jesus Christ. And then salvation really means to be saved, to be rescued, to be delivered. I like the writer of Hebrews calls it a great salvation. He says it in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. John chapter 3. Let's keep moving. Just wanted to touch some of those things, sort of get Nicodemus in place here. Because verse 16 says this, Nicodemus. This radical now. We're in a radical series. This is radical. This is maybe the most radical verse in the Bible. For God. Stop right there. For God. See, see, you can't have a creation without a creator. Okay? Somebody created this. Now, I don't think anybody here foolish enough to come out here on a snowy day and get their car all dirty and get dressed all up and sit in these hard pews and listen to me holler and scream if you don't believe in creation. That you don't believe that there was a God. I just don't believe anybody in here believe in the Big Bang Theory. That it's just boom and it just everything just happened or a fish just walked out of the water and put on tennis shoes. I just don't believe nobody in here that ignorant. Or as my mother was an ignorant. Ignorant. For God, the creator of all, created the world and everything in it. So loved the world. So loved the world and all that he created. That word so loved the world. You know, it talks about the depth of his love. I thought about this when we were going through Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 3 and the great apostle Paul. He's talking about this soul, this great love that he had. And let me just touch a few of those verses and try to remind you of it. I know we spent 35 weeks on it, but it's just such a beautiful. I mean, if you ever just want to read one book of the Bible, read the book of Ephesians.
Amen.
Amen. Look at Paul. I just want to just bring you up to speed. Paul's talking about this great love that God had for his people. And look at verse 11. Of chapter 1, it says, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will." Verse 13, "In whom ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." After you heard the word of truth. It's so important that preachers preach the word of truth. It is so important that the word of truth be preached. Listen, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel, the good news. Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel that you heard and you believed and you were saved by. On whom after that ye believed. You got to hear something first. I hear these folks while I was riding down the street and the Lord spoke to me and I just became a Christian. That's good if it drives you to the house of God, to a place where you can hear the word of God preached in its truth, in its trueness. Listen.
Amen.
Listen. It says it. And after you heard the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed. Sealed. You wasn't sealed before you believed. You wasn't sealed in unbelief. Some folks are sealed in unbelief. This is why they struggle with being once saved, always saved. Because they know some folks that wasn't saved, but they know they ain't living like they say. They ain't act like they say. But so they say, well, I can walk away. Well, if you save yourself, you can unsave yourself. But the word of God says right here that ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Of promise. Let me give you one more. One more. So many in Ephesians here, chapter 1. But he talks about the eyes of your understanding in verse 18. It says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." How about that? Remember this stuff? You got to remember this stuff if you're saved. You got to remember this time when you was in darkness, when you was totally lost, when you was living like a fool, acting like a fool, calling folks out of their name, cussing, swearing, doing anything you was big and bad enough to do. First Peter said you was called out of what? Darkness. Into his marvelous light. This stuff has to happen. If it ain't nothing happen, you ain't sealed. And if you sealed and this didn't happen, you need to... I don't know what to tell you. Because some people are sealed in foolishness. The Bible says that a fool have said in his heart there's no God. You can be sealed in that. Look at verse 18 again. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Have your eyes been enlightened? "That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Now pay attention, folks. Because Paul knew something. Paul was stubborn like Nicodemus. He was stubborn like the rich young ruler. He was stubborn like some of our Calvinist friends who believe that there's only one way to get saved and you have to be elect and all that stuff. Paul was stubborn like that. But look at Paul in chapter 3. Now y'all know I love this verse. Y'all know I love this verse. Chapter 3, verse 14. Paul, after realizing what God had done by calling him to be the preacher of the Gentiles, lost souls. Look what Paul says in verse number 14 of Ephesians 3. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time when Paul was killing Christians. He hated Christ.
Amen.
His eyes, the eyes of his understanding have been enlightened now. And he was thanking God for opening his eyes and filling him with the Spirit and washing him and cleansing him and cleaning him up. Now Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't always believe that. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Wow, that don't sound like a limited atonement to me. The whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Oh, this is the call to the church. Check your root system.
Amen.
Check your root system. Are you rooted and grounded in love? That you may be able to comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, and what is the height, and to know the love of God. Do you know the love of God? Do you know the love of God? Why? That passes all knowledge. That you might be filled with the fullness of God. Paul was begging that the people of God be full. That be filled with the things of God. I so much want to see everybody just want to be filled. I just listen to this, the wonderful song today. To see Matthew step up and just want to sing. Just being full. Come to church, why does he sing? Cynthia, Cindy, Brian just coming up and wanting to sing. Mary just wanting to sing. Folks wanting to serve. Paula wanting to serve. Let me do something. I just need to do something. Jake pulls up on me. I want to do altar call today. I just want to pray. My goodness. John 3:16. This great chapter. This great verse, excuse me. For God, not only so loved the world, he so loved the world. Listen. How's that word so? Somebody, I know somebody want me to just stay on that word so for a minute. Listen. Here is love, John 14. Here is love. We're talking about this love that God has for the world. That not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins, to be an atonement, to die for our sins. That we could care less about the things of God. Listen. For when we were yet without strength, Romans 5:8.
Yeah.
For when we were yet without strength, we're talking about this love God had for the world. For when we were yet without strength, no power. Satan was in total control over everything we did. We was doing only what Satan wanted us to do. Because Satan was our commander in chief. We had no strength. If Satan said shoplift, we shoplift. Satan said cuss, we cuss. Satan said steal, we steal. Satan said act a fool, we act a fool. No strength. No power. Listen, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Man, how could you teach some of this stuff? How could you teach a limited atonement when it says Christ died for the ungodly?
Yeah.
For scarcely for a righteous man,
We are one die. What do you die for? A righteous man. Righteous man don't need a savior. Yet pre-adventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. Who is the us? The ungodly. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So loved the world. One more. Y'all feel like Wednesday night. I know. One more. Look at Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised us up together. That's good news, ain't it, Deacon Oliver? That's good news. That's good news. This is a love story. Listen. He gave his only begotten son. Verse number 16. He gave his only begotten son. That, here's our word. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Pastor, what's it mean to perish? Simple answer. To die without Christ and to be separated from God for all eternity in hell. Okay? Listen. What's it mean to believe? That's a troublesome word. What's it mean to believe? Whosoever believeth, to commit, to trust in what Christ done on Calvary's cross. Even though you couldn't see it. And there's a great story. There's a great story about that word believeth. And then I got one of the dictionary answers here. To be of the opinion that something exists or is reality, especially when there is no absolute proof of its existence or reality. Well, we don't believe that about the Bible because we have the Word of God. Okay, that's a internet dictionary explanation. But y'all remember Thomas when he went missing, MIA. Didn't they call it in the service when you're MIA, missing in action? Look at John 20 and 25. I think this is a fascinating story. Here's Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. We're talking about believing here. Now, once we get to the last part of this verse, or these couple of verses here, because we want to believe. We have to believe. We have to believe if we're going to spend all eternity in heaven. We have to believe.
Amen. That's it.
We have to believe. I hear people say, I believe, but do you understand what the word means? Look at Doubting Thomas. Jesus had showed up. Thomas decided he was going golfing on that Sunday. Or he was going to the flea market. Or he had tickets to the Indians game. Or he stayed out all night Saturday and just couldn't get up. He went to Bedside Baptist. Pastor Sheets and Sister Pillow. But Thomas, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, should have been there. Y'all take the word of God literally. Thomas, one of the 12, should have been there. Called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now that's a scary thought, eh? Now if Jesus come, and somebody admit, don't tell him he came. So folks have missed church and asked how it was. Tell him you should have been there, Thomas. Call him Thomas. Say, who is this, Thomas? The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord.
Yeah.
How about that? But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails. This ain't believing now. And thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. Some of y'all, that's stubborn. That's why y'all had these preachers out here doing tricks and trying to do miracles and healing and all that to say, well, you know, God's still doing miracles and still doing this. You got to believe. See, I can do this. No.
Amen.
No, don't be fooled.
Amen.
Listen. And after 8 days, Thomas was talking to the 12 now. After 8 days, again, his disciples were with him. Within. They was in the building. Thomas wouldn't miss this one. And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. The doors being shut. Wait a minute now. The doors were shut because they were scared. They was hiding. And it came with the doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Why do you think he had to say that? Because they were just sitting there shaking. Yeah, I can say more. Then said he to Thomas. Come on, believe now. Then he said this to Thomas. Reach hither thy hand and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust in to my side. And be not faithless, but believing. He's talking to Thomas.
Amen.
Thomas had great work to do. Thomas had great work to do. And if you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, Thomas was martyred for preaching God's word. So he came to believe. He said, be not faithless, but believing. But Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now watch Jesus rebuke him. Some of y'all think Jesus is just soft. I hope you learned something here. See, you just don't check the top dog in all of Israel. See, Nicodemus was a bad man. And God just checked him in the person of Jesus Christ. Watch this. And Jesus said unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Of us. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. See, all we have is these pages. And there are no pictures in the Bible. Not the one I have. Okay? Some of y'all Bible have pictures of Fabio in it. That's not Jesus. Peter got the message too. He was there. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen. You think Peter didn't learn his lessons? Peter learned some stuff. Look at Peter. Having not seen, and whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice. How, Peter? With joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter understood. Peter understood. Let's go back to this. Go over this. We're gonna touch this one more time. For God, we understand the Creator, created all, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, some of y'all have children. I've seen Roy get up here and talk about his boy. I love this boy. I bet you Roy ain't going to sacrifice him for none of you rascals. Go ahead on perish. It is what it is. It is what it is. I ain't going there neither. Boy, some stuff be going in my head. Don't say it, Claire. Listen, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Here's the end result. Here's a summary of everything Jesus talked about. But have everlasting life. Okay? There's a double blessing for those who believe. There's a double blessing for those who believe. What's the first part? The first part of that blessing is they shall not die and go to hell.
Amen.
Ain't no use singing about the devil if ain't no hell. Some of y'all, oh, y'all scared of the devil. Scared of the devil. All y'all Baptists want to talk about is the devil. Say that again. It's for real. Now, we don't teach that he run around in a red suit and none of that. That, as a matter of fact, that came along when they wanted to humiliate the devil. They called themselves going to humiliate the devil. So they dressed up in a red suit with horns and stuff. The devil don't care about that. Don't care about that. Listen. Twofold blessing. You won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And I just want to talk about everlasting life. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Eternal life. Eternal life. Talks about the quality of one's life. The moment you got saved, your life should have got better. I don't care how much your hand hurt. I don't care how swollen up your feet is. I don't care about your arthritis. Your life is better. Through it all. Somebody said, through it all. I've learned what? Trust in Jesus. I've learned what? Trust in God. See, all them aches and pains is just, like I say, reminders. This flesh is withering. You know, I love talking about the Wizard of Oz. And then I talk about some of the great parts. But, you know, I remember when the scarecrow caught on fire. And Dorothy picked up that bucket, and the wicked witch seen that water. She knew what was up. that witch was in all flesh. And she threw that water at the scarecrow and missed him. And then went, no, I missed it. That's all that's happening. When you feel the aches and pains, just make sure you got your insurance policies paid up. You know, make sure you know you planned and everything. You know, say all your goodbyes because you coming out. I want the world to know you coming out. So Dorsey walked my office this morning, on my hand. I said, Dorsey, you got all your plans together? She said, yes, I do. And what I don't have together, Benny will take care of. She said, that's right. That's all it is. Listen, you don't want to perish, but you want to have everlasting life. Listen, I'm not talking about living the king's way. I'm not talking about that. That's not everlasting life. Okay, that's not everlasting life. Look at John 10:10. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it. Because this is an abundant life. The thief cometh all the devil today. Okay. See, you got us all started. The thief cometh, verse John 10:10, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's in the Bible. That's in the Word of God. But then, but Jesus is speaking here and says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That word abundantly in the original language means more extremely. It's an extreme life. See, when ordinary life is routine and boring, Jesus gives you a new life that is extreme. Now, I'm living an extreme life. I'll be the first to tell you, and I'm not talking about stuff. Okay? See, some of these prosperity chiefs, they talk about the ability to gather stuff and having nice stuff and going on cruises and vacations and traveling and eating at the finest restaurant. That's the abundant life. Now, is that what Jesus says? Amen. Power to win struggles with sin. Yes, that's the abundant life. The power to win struggles with sin. When all hell is breaking out of your life and you overcome it. And you can look back and laugh at it. Uh-huh. Say, yeah.
Yep, sir.
That's the abundant life. That's the good life.
Uh-huh.
An overcoming way of life. Jesus lived an abundant life. That's our example. He's a man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. But he overcame them all. They didn't stop him from doing what he was called to do. That's the abundant life. Listen to 2 Timothy. That's why I like the song we sang. See, y'all was writing with me today. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Everybody was on board today. Y'all, Claire must have called all y'all, told y'all what I was preaching on this Sunday. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I love this. And this is how I want all of us to be. This ought to be our motto. It's an exhortation to faithfulness and determination. And it says, in verse 1 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, he said, thou therefore, my son, mm-hmm. talking to Timothy, Paul called Timothy his son in the faith, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about the abundant life. I'm talking about living your best life now. This is the Bible version of that. Living your best life now. Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Young folks, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Some things you know, you have to know. Some of you young folks doing some things that you have to know that it's satanic. Some of you doing some things that you know is satanic. Texting some things that you know is satanic. Hang out with folks that care less about the things of God. Be careful who you're running with. Listen, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Why did Paul have to tell Timothy that? Because Timothy was with Paul. Timothy's seen the rocks. He's seen the stoning. He's seen the humiliation. He's seen Paul and Silas cast into jail and beaten. He's seen the cost that it took to walk with the Lord. This ain't for everybody. This is for the whosoever's. See, everybody ain't a whosoever. I'm about to agree with that. Because it takes a special type of person to follow Christ. Here's Paul giving Timothy that exhortation. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Looking for some men and women to teach these young folks, teach these young girls to be ladies. How to be respected. How not to worry about being popular. All you ain't, there's only one homecoming queen. And the one that they call, you know, you can't say nothing about Jesus at the commencement services no more. So I wouldn't even want to be the homecoming queen unless I just wanted to get up there and just get the police involved and they're going to drag me out. I'm going to lift up Christ. Look at the last part of 2 Timothy. Look at verse number 3. After you give him that, he says, listen, thou therefore endure hardness. I like that. Some of y'all think this is wimpy stuff. Joshua probably said, oh, yeah, this is going to church for wusses and wimps and lames. Racing over there, yeah, I'm the pastor's son, I got to be tough. You know, that's some wimpy stuff. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you what's wimpy. Being a gang banger and a thug. Amen. Smoking dope and drinking and acting a fool. That's wimpy. Amen. Walking around sagging with your butt all out. That's wimpy. Anybody can do that. Walk in the power of God. Walk in resurrection power. Walk in authority. And they will say no to some stuff. No, I ain't doing that. No, I'm not getting involved in that. And then take the ridicule. Take that. It's a real man to stop in the middle of a chow hall and pray over his food. I don't want everybody to think I'm a Christian. You're going to want everybody to think you're a Christian when you're burning in hell on your way. I don't want to pray in front of people. They may laugh at me. Listen to what he says to Timothy. He says, thou therefore endure hard as how? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now you want to tell me how tough you is. Go over to Iraq. Put on one of them backpacks. It's a little different than your book bag. Be a soldier, young people. Be strong. Jasmine, be strong. Be a soldier. Satan don't like you getting all A's. Satan don't like you excelling and then living and backing up. He don't like that. He want to see you fall. And he'll send some of the cutest boys at you. This pastor crazy. Listen, as I close. I ran out of material. Leave that. Y'all understand what I'm saying though, right?
Amen.
This is a great verse. For God so loved the world, only begotten Son, that whosoever, don't let nobody tell you that you can't be saved. So you get one of the preachers up here, and they say, I can't send out an invitation to everybody because I'll be lying. That's how they really believe. Because if I don't know if they elect or not. Doesn't matter. That's not what God said. He said, Whosoever believeth. And that word believeth means continually for the rest of your days. Come what may. Believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the greatest message of love in the Bible. Thank you for your people who are here, who have set the pace.